Amen.
So I'm convinced you love Jesus, smile and say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That sounds better. I'd like when we listen to this on the church website, they know that someone's in the audience and I'm preaching to myself. Amen. We thank God for the privilege and opportunity to be here. This is the first Lord's Day in the month of October as we enter the fourth quarter of 2022. The year is rapidly coming to a conclusion. Your scripture text is taken from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse number 35. Mark chapter 12, beginning in verses 35 through 37. That's the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. All found? Mark chapter 12, verse 35, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, 'How is it that the scribes say that the Christ is the son of David? For David himself saith, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool.'" And verse number 37 says, "Therefore David himself calls him Lord. How is it that he then is his son? And the common people heard him gladly." It is from verse number 37 that we extract the title for today's message, "The Gospel for Common People." The Gospel for the Common People. Our church, the Jesus preached in Mark chapter 12. In this context, he was answering the scribes in verse number 28, where they were asking him, which is the first commandment of all? The scribes themselves were the legal folk, the religious folk, and they didn't understand it. And so Jesus preached the rich and famous, but he certainly did not ignore the poor. In fact, he spoke of the difficulty that the rich would have in being saved. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 24, he says, "Assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." But the common man, in Mark chapter 12, verse 37, heard him gladly and not madly. And we see the rich, even in today's society, tend to trust in their wealth and in their possessions, but the common people, generally speaking, are more inclined to trust in the Lord. And so while the gospel is for all people, we will examine today what it appeals to the common people in today's lesson. And so I want to suggest to you, first of all, that the gospel is for common people because it is a free gospel. The gospel is for the common people because it is a free gospel. In other words, it is within everyone's reach. And Jesus preached the gospel to the poor in his earthly ministry. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, the Bible says, "And Jesus said to them, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He didn't come with an entourage. He didn't come with a huge army in today's economy. But somebody wants to know, what is the gospel? The gospel is simply the good news. The good news. We all get bad news. They look on our television, and even today, most people have a mobile phone. You can get access to live information, up-to-date information, bad news. But don't we all need some good news? But what is this good news? The good news is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul says to the church in Corinth, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which is preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that which was preached to you, unless you believe in vain." Verse 3 says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture." That's the first good news message, that Christ died for your sins. and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So what is the gospel? It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That God loved you and me enough that he will send his only son into the world to die for our sins. That God wants a relationship with you. And so this morning, in the time that we have together, I want for each of us to consider our soul salvation, because each of us will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account on that great getting up morning. And if you are not in Christ, you will be lost for eternity. And so the good news is for the free, it is free to all. He called some fishermen who were blue-collar men, the 12 apostles by today's standards. But when Peter and John went up to the temple to the lame man who begged for money in the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse number 6, it says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I don't have silver and gold to offer to you today, but what I do have is Jesus. And if you don't, and Jesus is the best gift that you and I could ever have. We can have so many things in this world. You know, the new iPhone came out just recently, iPhone 14. Looks like on an iPhone, but listen, the iPhone won't get you there. Amen. It'll get you in debt. It'll get you in trouble, but it won't get you to heaven. Amen. And so the good news. It is a free gospel for the lame, for the maimed, and for the shamed. Amen. Secondly, it is gospel for the common people because it is a plain gospel. The uneducated can understand it. God has not given us a book that's so complicated that you and I cannot understand. I know that for some of our young people, you're going to uni or to high school, and you've got all of these textbooks and assignments, and you don't understand all that you're reading and that you're studying, but the gospel is plain enough for us to understand. Psalm 119 and verse 130, the psalmist says, the entrance of your word gives life. It gives understanding or sense to the simple. Don't you know, church, when the Word of God shows up and it makes sense? Ain't that possible? It's just like a light bulb goes off sometimes. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And it's something. Folk ought to know when you've been with Jesus. When you leave here, you ought to be lifted up. Amen. You ought to have some understanding. Say, well, I had this burden, I had this question, and I know I've had it. The Word of God has answered that question. It has spoken to my soul. In other words, even the least among us can hear it and understand it and believe it. And so, church, the gospel is for common people, thirdly, because it is an equalizing gospel. The humble are elevated by it, and the proud are humbled by it. Yes, we must know that sin destroys the relationship with God. Don't you know, church, that in the beginning, you remember the story in the book of Genesis, young people, that God created the perfect man and created the perfect woman and put him in the perfect environment and in the Garden of Eden, and he said, you can have everything you want in here. There's something. If I said you can have everything in every book, that you'll take everything. Mm-hmm. But he said you don't touch that tree over there. And then here comes Satan, the serpent, beguiled Eve, and then sin entered the world, and God banished man, drove them out from his presence because God cannot fellowship sin. And so God, in his wisdom and his grand scheme of redemption, has been pursuing man since the beginning, because he wants a relationship with me and you. And so he has been relentless. He spoke to the patriarchs, and then he spoke through the apostles, and now he sent his son into the world, and now he speaks to us through his word. What for? Reconciliation. Reconciliation, because God wants his house to be full. I want to suggest to you, church, today, that the primary purpose of the church being in Leicester and anywhere else in the world is to save souls. Not to feed people, not to make us feel good, but to save the lost and keep the lost saved. They made it. And when we're saved, keep them in the house of God. And so, church, our purpose, it is an equalizing gospel. Over and over, the scribes and Pharisees pointed their fingers and looked down their religious noses at Jesus and trying to catch him in a fault. But rather than humbling themselves and being saved, they tried to condemn him. Men today stand behind things they cannot hold us up and only destroy us. Pride will keep us from the gospel. Arrogance will keep us from the gospel. Self-righteousness will keep us from the gospel. False doctrine will keep us from the gospel. Ignorance will keep us from the gospel, church. In Matthew 23 and verse 11, Jesus says, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And verse 12 says, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know what that simply means? That's when we say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand. How, you remember the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip went up to him and said to him, do you understand what you're reading? He didn't say, well, who do you think you are? He said, how can I unless some man guides me or teaches me? Christianity is salvation by education. You cannot become a Christian unless somebody teaches you first. You won't wake up one day and say, do you know what the Lord laid on my heart and said I want to be? No, it don't work like that. You've got to be taught something first before you can become a Christian. And so, church, we must be like the little children in Matthew 18 and verse number 4. To be suffer not the little children, but to come unto me. What's a child, boy? A child is innocent. A child is sincere. A child is receptive. They are moldable. But you know what happens as we become older? We become jaded. We become bitter. We become set in our ways. Well, the gospel, church, is an equalizing gospel. It can bring us, because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. Fourthly, it is the gospel for common people because it is a compensating gospel. The faithful are rewarded by every one of us will get a reward. Did you know that on Judgment Day, everyone will get the reward? Say, man, that sounds good, but you better be careful. You might be getting a reward from somebody you don't want to get a reward from. Amen. Despite all that we go through on this earth, if we obey the gospel, whether we're rich or poor, we all receive the same reward. Amen. But we must be willing to give up some things in this life. You cannot go into the grocery store, the supermarket, and just walk up with whatever you want. You've got to pay for something. And in order to have Jesus, you're going to have to give up some things too. You're going to have to give up self. You're going to have to give up your own ambition. You're going to have to give up your own desires. Isn't that what Jesus did? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Not here on earth. Amen. You can have all the degrees. You can have 2 PhDs, 3 PhDs. You can have it all. 1 million followers on Instagram and still go to hell. Great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Don't be surprised when you have trouble in your Christian life, in other words. Great is your reward in heaven. Amen. Your rewards are out of this world, literally. John 6 and 26, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. In other words, they weren't following Jesus because of anything spiritual, but because he fed them. Huh? You know how we are? You know, it's a shame. It's a shame when we live in a world where folks want to take everything, but don't want to give anything. And then you know folks like that? They take, but nobody wants to give. And Jesus said, you're not following me because of the signs you saw, but because I fed you a fish dinner yesterday. Amen. But he said, listen, verse 27 of John 6, do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. Don't work yourself to death. Amen. Because you can kill yourself on your job and still go to hell. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for, he says, the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Huh? I can get 12 promotions this year and still go to hell. He says, because God the Father has set his seal on him, all of us will receive compensation. You may not ever get recognized for the work that you do here on earth, but if you obey the gospel, you get a reward. He says in Revelation, says what? You get a crown of life. The crown of life. That is the victor's crown. You have made it to the very end. Don't listen. Don't give up. Don't give in. I don't care if, listen, nobody else comes. I'm coming because I love Jesus more than my husband. I love Jesus more than my wife. I love Jesus more than my job. I love Jesus more than anything else in this world. Fifthly, it is a gospel for common people because it is a powerful gospel. The sinful are saved by it. The purpose for Jesus dying on the cross was to rescue man from his sins. Paul recognized this in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, where he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Are you ashamed of Jesus? You know, young folk, as you get older, you become teenagers, you start becoming ashamed of your parents. You know, when you first went to school, they would drop you off at the front of the schoolhouse. Huh? Now when you get in the teen years, you say, Mama, drop me off around the corner. Huh? Because I don't want nobody to see me in this car. Huh? Because you don't dress right. I don't want my friends to be looking. I know I'm talking to somebody. Huh? Dad, you can't wear that. My friends are gonna see you. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm not ashamed of good news, for it is the power of God to salvation for the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That's for everybody. He said, for therein the righteous God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is powerful, church. It gives salvation to everyone who believes. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When was the last time you confessed that you are the chief of sinners? But we come up in here in the church house and act like we don't have any problems. Huh? The church is a hospital. Don't act like you don't need help. Don't act like you don't need God's grace. We mess up every day. Sometimes we mess up, we don't even know we're messing up. Huh? We offend folks when we say, well, if I've offended you, well, it offends me if you say it. Because that is an offense. Amen. Because we need God's grace. It is, church, a powerful gospel. He says, of whom I chief. Look at verse 16 of 1 Timothy 1. He says, however, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for eternal life. And listen, if God could save Saul of Tarsus, he can save you too. If God can save Saul of Tarsus, he can save your co-worker. If God could save Saul of Tarsus, he can save the King of England. Don't tie God's hand. Sometimes we tie God's hand. Huh? There's a neighbor that needs to hear the gospel. There's a co-worker that needs to hear the gospel. There is a friend, a spouse, there is a member of your family who need to hear the gospel. Huh? We were talking about that this morning. The Great Commission. Mark 16, 15, 16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To every creature. This word go is what we call in the Greek tense, present active indicative. That's a fancy word, means as you go, it means it's not a one-time event. It's as you are going into the world. Listen, your world is not my world. And my world is not your world. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, listen. I don't shop where you shop. I don't live where you live. I can't go in certain places that you can go. In my job, you've got to have a security badge to get to the building. So that is my word. You are not responsible for evangelizing at my job. That's my job. And guess what happens? So on the flip side, you are responsible to evangelize in your own world. Now, how do I know that? Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. You were not saved to sit down. Did you know that? Every last one of us have a responsibility to save souls. That's not just something we do once a month, once every 2 months. That's something we ought to be doing every single day. Now, Brother Paul announced in August, that we're going to be talking about the gospel. And you see this table over here? This is your gospel tool table. Amen. You've got invitations right here. You've got tracts over here. You've got business cards over here. What's that for? To evangelize, to take the gospel. That's your job. That's my job. Now, don't take anything unless you plan on doing something with it. Amen. Because on Judgment Day, every last one of us who are Christians will be accountable. The Lord's going to ask you, what did you do? What did you do? Not the preacher, not the teacher, not anybody else. What did you do to save a soul in 2022? We had two precious souls who are being the gospel this year, Sister Millie, Sister Esther, but there are still souls to be saved. That's my job, to remind us, not me, to remind us of our mission, the commission, the great commission to go into all the world. Jesus made the gospel plain enough to reach the scholar and the common people. And Spurgeon said, we can learn nothing of the gospel except by feelings its truth. There are some sciences that may be learned by the head, but the science of Christ crucified can only be learned by the heart. Church, there are people who will not be ready to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that they need us to take and teach the gospel to them before it is eternally too late. We talked about this morning. This is a search and rescue mission that we should be on. Because listen, it is our job to preach the gospel to every creature. What for? Because we need to let people know that there is liberty for the lost, healing for the helpless, grace for the guilty, salvation for the sinner, comfort for the confused, pardon for the prisoner, love for the lonely, restoration for the reviler, exhortation for the extortioner, peace for the prostitute, blessings for the broken, forgiveness for the fornicator, conversion for the covetousness, and fellowship for the forsaken. We must be about the Father's business. If there's nothing else that we do in 2022, Church of Christ in Leicester, we must be about the Father's business of saving souls. If you're here this morning and you do not know the blessings of Christ for the saving of a soul, you must do five simple things in order to be saved. This is God's plan of salvation. We talked about that this morning. If someone asks you, stop you in the street and said, can you tell me how you became a Christian? What would you tell them? Well, you should tell them, first of all, you must hear the word of God, Romans 10, 17, so then faith comes by hearing. You must believe that Jesus Christ has died for your sins. That's John 3, 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You must repent of your sins. Repentance, Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you now, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Number 4, you must confess Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. With the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And number 5, you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. That's Acts 2:38, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Talks about baptism. It's not a sprinkling. It's not a pouring. It's not an outward sign of inward grace. It is how we access the spiritual blood of Christ in a spiritual sense. And then the Lord asks us to remain faithful until then. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Can you tell somebody that? Five or six scriptures. Can you memorize that, church? Why? Because tomorrow is not promised to us. Everything that you and I do in the church must be leading towards saving the soul. And if it doesn't meet that criteria, we need to stop doing. What have we done? If you're here this morning and you need prayer, you know, the world just turns upside down. We face more struggles. We've got depression more and more. We come into the church house and we smile on the outside, but we're falling apart on the inside. That ought not be so, church. James says, confess your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man. Is there a righteous man among us? It says availeth much. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, either of these two ways, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.